You are listening to
TalkLine Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, please give us a call at 718-758-0400. I'll repeat the number. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Remember, all calls are kept strictly confidential. We're coming up to the new school year, and somebody may need a school for their children. So we have a yeshiva liaison that could help find and place in the right school. So give us a call, 718-758-0400. Tonight, I'm really happy to have on with us, and believe me, because I'm smiling as I'm saying it, and that is a dear friend, a colleague, somebody that's so committed to helping families that struggle with eating disorders, and that is Marcy Forta. Welcome, Marcy. How are you?
Good. Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Ruchama. How are you? It is always an honor and a privilege to have an opportunity to speak with you. I'm always very touched with Mask's work. Important, very important work.
Thank you. And I am always happy to have you back on and your important work that is so important, but so gratifying to know that it is acceptable now to bring into schools what you do. So just for my listeners, Marcy Forta is the founder of the Atzmi program. Please tell my listeners all about your wonderful program.
Thank you so much. So Atzmi is our organization that I founded to support the mental health of our girls through programs that improve their self-compassion, their self-worth, their body image. We help provide them with tools and skills to support their mental health and empirically prevent eating disorders. So our programs are based on Torah and Hashkafa, but they're also empirically based in how we head off eating disorders. Part of what we provide also in our program is workshops for moms or both parents. Some schools, both parents come, as well as training for teachers. And then I also personally work a little bit in eating disorder prevention, awareness, and education. I provide a lot of support and guidance for loved ones of those struggling with eating disorders.
Well, Marcy, I do want to say that you have been there for Mask families that I know of. You have supported them, answered their questions, and always so available to offer them resources. But most importantly now is your new book that is called How Can I Help My Daughter? A Mother's Guide to Nurturing Her Daughter's Best Self. And with that, I want to announce that you have two workbooks that come along with it. And that is my best self journal and my best self, how I, a mother's companion, to help my daughter. So it's wow, wow, and wow. And I love your cover and the butterflies. Love it. Marcy, what made you write this book? I know you share your own personal story, and I'm wondering if you feel safe to share with me, please.
Sure. Thank you so much. Well, you know, I didn't think of writing the book, honestly, myself at first. Mosaica had approached me, and I gave it some thought for a while. But the truth of the matter is that when I go into the schools and I speak to moms and teachers, so many, many mothers have reached out to me and wanted to have more information. They wanted to ensure that their children didn't struggle with certain, you know, issues, whatever that is, self-esteem, body image, self-compassion, just their overall feelings about themselves. And they just really wanted to ensure that they would do something different than what had been done for them. And so, you know, I realized more and more that we're all really struggling to be the best me that we can be, trying to find our own way to feel comfortable in and with our appearance, with our physical bodies. And so for myself personally, as you mentioned, as somebody who had struggled with an eating disorder as a teen, and who Baruch Hashem was able to overcome it, it's really been a very illuminating and transformative journey for me thus far. And I've met some really wonderful people. So, you know, I kind of searched deeply inside, and I just decided that perhaps in some way it would help some people for me to not only write my journey, which I do, I write my personal story in the book, but I also want to share Torah and Hashkafa, empirical data, but also something that's really personal is I share a lot of the stories that people shared with me that they have experienced in the hopes that this will help other people. And of course, obviously all the details have been changed so that there's no identifying information. But I think that, you know, I just really wanted to reach people on a different level so that they would have more information. My 1 hour seminar is not always enough, and people seem to want more. And then you asked about the mother-daughter companion curriculum that I released at the same time. You know, again, because it's so challenging sometimes for us to discuss sensitive topics such as body image and self-worth with our daughters, because we too are grappling with those issues even as adults. So we wonder to ourselves, you know, if I'm really struggling with that, how can I help my daughter? So now you've read the book, hopefully, and then we want to put these ideas into practice, but where do we start? So the really, this idea was to be a guidebook, providing kind of a roadmap toward understanding and open communication with your child. And we have like 11 distinct modules in the in the mother's guide. Each one is packed with information and exercises to choose from. Just the idea is really to help you love and appreciate your whole self just as you are and just as Hashem intended.
Well, thank you. And I think it's important that we speak about two things. Number one, how prevalent eating disorders really become, that we need these programs. And number two, how lucky we are that the schools are more open than ever before to taking in speakers such as you and your program. So what are your two comments on both of those topics, please?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. We unfortunately are seeing a lot of eating disorders. Certainly we're seeing a lot of body image issues and struggles, disordered eating in general. But because of what I do going into the schools and meeting with the parents and the schools themselves and the teachers, I'm really hearing a lot from inside the schools. And we are finding that we are really challenged with a lot of eating disorders. You know, the numbers show, you know, between 9 and 12% of people will be affected by an eating disorder. But when it comes to Jewish women and girls, for whatever reason, and that's a whole probably conversation in and of itself, that Jewish women and girls may be up to twice as likely to struggle with an eating disorder, which means between 18 and 24% of us could struggle at some point throughout our life. And that's a really large number when you look at the numbers in the classroom, right? If you have 10 girls in your classroom, that could be between 2 and 3 girls that are struggling at any given time. And eating disorders really are very competitive. They are really have contagion factors to them. So these programs are so important. And like you said, I think we are very fortunate that we are starting to get to a place where mental health help is much more respected and understood. And the schools are definitely more open to these types of programs. I do think, however, being proactive is a little bit harder in our community than being reactive. Not all schools have been ready yet, but the response has been, Baruch Hashem, overwhelming and fantastic. Even the feedback we've received from facilitators, from the girls themselves, from the mothers after the girls have gone through the program has been really amazing to see. So I definitely agree with you. We're going in that direction. We might not be 100% there, but we're on a very good road.
Well, let me tell you, I'm doing Mass 27 years, and from what was to what is today, sadly, so many more people need the resources, but there are resources out there to offer, which 27 years ago, there was zero. So at least those that are struggling could get help, and a lot of prevention is in place now, such as your program. The awareness, prevention from a mother's angle, what not to do, what yes to say, what not to say. And I do want to bring up the topic of mothers and fathers. We're going to be taking our daughters or even sons shopping school clothing now or whatever. And many talk about their body image and their children's feelings about their own body image when shopping with parents. What do you want to say to those parents that are listening in tonight?
It's definitely, you know, a tricky situation when you take your children shopping. There's no doubt about it. I think, you know, there's not going to be a quick fix that all of a sudden you're going to have one thing to say to your daughter this one time that you take her shopping. It's really more of the type of modeling that you're doing in your own home about body shapes and sizes, about food, making sure the conversations are more about things that are most important, right? Because we know that what we look like is never as important as who we are, our relationship with Hashem, what we do, how we live our lives. And so sometimes, even though we teach our kids that it's not on the inside that really matters, right? If we model or reinforce the importance of what we look like on the outside, then that becomes a mixed message for them. So, you know, especially in the dressing room, it's going to be more about, obviously, we want to compliment in general, less about their physical appearance. We might talk to the fact that this color looks great on them. It really brings out their eyes. I love this, the length of this one on you. It seems to be really comfortable. But again, we might still come into some struggles about our bodies and our sizes. The main thing we really want to model and teach our daughters is that our bodies are gifts from Hashem. They are what carry our souls in this world. And we have to be so careful how we treat them, how we talk about them, how we take care of them. And we don't want them to feel that the idea is not to feel that their value comes from their physical appearance or the shape of their body or the size of their body. Their value comes from so many other places. And so, yes, we might have some frustration sometimes when we go shopping if things don't fit us the way we want them to fit us, or we don't look like our other friends look. But we're not meant to all be the same. Hashem didn't create us to all be the same. We have different heights and eye colors and hair colors and shoe sizes. We're really not meant to be identical. And I think that that's really important. And I really speak to, I love a quote from Rabbi Jacobson, Rabbi YY, who kind of said that each single person casts a unique light to illuminate our planet, to illuminate our lives. Each one was born an original. And so we have to understand that conforming to arbitrary standards of beauty or body size will not fulfill us, will not give us confidence or help us spiritually or make us healthy. Everyone has been blessed with their own talents, abilities, capabilities, skills, resources. And we know that we have been given exactly what we need to fulfill our mission here on earth. So I know that it's a higher, a bigger message, but I think you can't, if you have created in your home the idea that you're body size and shape is the most important thing, then certainly when you go shopping with your daughter and she might not fit into the clothing size that she wants to, or an outfit that everyone else is, it's going to be a little harder for her. But if we can build up our children in areas outside of their physical appearance, and if we can model in our own homes and in our own lives that it's more important the type of person we are, the things that we do, the beauty that we have on the inside, then this really does help build them up with their self-esteem. It doesn't mean that it's going to be a foolproof way of helping them, but it really does mean that they're going to value themselves outside of just their physical appearance. And it kind of is like a deeper message than just a one day, shopping trip in the store.
Right, right. Thank you. So I'm wondering if I could ask you, Marcy, if you can just let my listeners know how you structured the book. Do you want to read the topics in the book?
You're saying the book or the companion?
The book.
Okay, so the book itself, I start, of course, with my own personal story, because I think it's important for people to understand just kind of, that I get it, that I've been there. And then we structure the book. We have statistics around eating disorders, body image issues within the general population, within the Jewish community specifically. And then we talk a lot about body image. What is body image and where does it come from? There are a lot of places where our body image, our feelings around our body come from. And so we go into that. And of course, it's important for us to have an understanding of eating disorders, because I think there's a lot of misinformation around eating disorders, what they look like, what they are, how they affect people, that they're not a bad choice. So there's a lot of information around understanding eating disorders. But the primary goal of the book, of course, is how can I help my daughter? So what are the things that I can do, little things that I can change, that I can move forward with to help my daughter feel better about and in her body and about herself in general? Because what they found in a lot of the studies is our self-image is so intimately tied to our body image. And then just some final thoughts on, how to use a weight inclusive kind of approach, intuitive eating, talking about BMI, and of course, what you should do if you are concerned that your child has an issue. And then how to take care of yourself through that as well.
Yes. And I must say, the art, your companions are beautiful. They have a lot of activities in there, a lot of different exercises, and how to, self-talk and help your relationships and journaling. It's really done really beautifully. Let's talk now about Yom Tov. Yom Tov is coming up really quickly. And we have like two Thanksgiving meals a day, times how many days during the holiday season. So what are some of the issues that people are concerned with that come to you?
Well, first of all, this year, of course, it is a little bit harder simply because we have, multiple 3-day Yom Tovs, right? So it's going to be a lot of cooking and a lot of eating. And so people are nervous, how will I be okay around so much food for so much of the time? And they're worried that it's going to be a difficult challenge for them. I think Yom Tov Tishrei is always difficult, right? It's hard to, there's just the abundance of food really overwhelms people. And so I guess the first thing that I would say is, first of all, let's talk about food. I mean, food is very stressful, but we are a religion that is surrounded by food. I like to let people know, number one, that food is so much more than the ingredients that are inside whatever you make, that are on your plate, right? Food is love. It is connection. It is part of family. It's how we celebrate Yom Tov. We have so many recipes that are handed down from parents and grandparents and special people in the family and special foods for special Yom Tovim, right? And so this is part of our family tradition. So it's a really essential and intimate part of our experience as Jewish people. So it's important, number one, that we don't demonize food or moralize food, right? Food is not good or bad. People who eat the food isn't good or bad. It's a tool for our nourishment. It's a tool for our health. It's something that Hashem created for us, and we need it each and every day. That's how he created us, several times a day. So I want to just take the stress off of thinking about food in those terms, right? Because, you know, sometimes we want to make a lot of food, but we have a lot of rules around the food, who shouldn't be eating this food in the family, who should be eating that food. I want people to feel like it's okay to have some fun foods because we enjoy them, we're in the mood of them, or just because they make us happy. But at the same time, of course, we want to take the time to listen to our bodies about what they need. And what they need so that they can feel healthy, that they can feel energized, that we can feel mentally well. And this can be challenging on Yom Tov because we're eating foods that we might not typically eat day to day, or we're eating at times that we don't typically eat. We're eating very late at night. Maybe the suddas are going on very late at night, or they're heavy, or, you know, especially on Rosh Hashanah, davening is very long. We don't start to sit down maybe till 3-4 o'clock, maybe even later for some people in the afternoon, and we haven't eaten all day and we're starving. So I think it's important, you know, to take a step back and try to listen to our bodies. You know, our bodies will give us very good cues about when we're hungry, when we're full, you know, trying not to eat too quickly, trying to realizing that just giving ourselves permission that this might be a difficult month and that we might be eating at times when we're not used to eating and that we might have some stresses around there. Having a friend or a trusted friend that we can call when we're feeling stressed about it. Even daily affirmations sometimes are quite helpful. I would say, you know, some things that we can do to try to make Tishrei a little bit easier for all of us would be to take the time you need for yourself. Might be just sitting down for short breaks, making sure that you eat foods that give you strength and energy, you know, getting that fresh air, that movement that you might want for your body in ways that you enjoy, trying not to take on more than you think you can handle. Tishrei, to me, is a sprint, not a marathon. So we have to be careful in how we spend our emotional and physical energy, because sometimes we tend to eat more or not think about the cues of our body when we're stressed or overtired. We're just like, okay, what's going to give me quick energy? And we don't have the ability to kind of step back from that. So, you know, I would give yourself permission to loosen your standards if that's what you need to get through this month. You know, maybe you're picking up more food or you're buying more pre-cleaned fruits and vegetables. Maybe you're, you know, getting more help in your house or allowing your kids to help you a little more than they usually do. Delegating is good. You know, planning for breaks, getting enough sleep, making sure to be organized. I think it's, you know, it's really important to take those times to take care of yourself during this month because it is a long, difficult month.
Sure is. Yeah. I appreciate that. I would like to ask you if you can just give the real definition for disordered eating, eating disorders, so that people understand that difference.
Sure, certainly. So when I describe eating, I like to look at it as a spectrum, right? So let's say on one side of the spectrum, you have normal eating. Somebody who has a good, healthy relationship with food, eats when they're hungry, stops when they're full, can recognize the cues, that's normal eating. And on the other end of the spectrum is what is an eating disorder. This is a mental struggle, a mental health illness. And this person has a lot of issues with maybe their body size and shape and food and eating. And so that is a severe disorder that takes over your brain, all your thoughts most of the time. You're really consumed by thoughts of eating and food and your body. But then there's something called disordered eating, which I like to say is, let's say we're halfway in the spectrum. So, you know, we have normal eating all the way up to about 50%. And then starting at about 50 and 75% is what might be disordered eating. And disordered eating could be things that somebody with an eating disorder does at a more severe level, but they could just be practices that are unhealthy for the person. Their relationship with food is somewhat difficult. Maybe they're doing things that, you know, maybe they're eating only at certain times of the day, or they're cutting out certain foods, but their whole life isn't consumed by thoughts and their food and their eating or what they're not eating and other people's eating. I think it breaks down to how consumed you are by these thoughts and how much of your brain is taken over by these thoughts. So once it's completely taken over, obviously that's an eating disorder. But when you're still kind of struggling, that could be considered disordered eating.
So what do you want to say? We're running out of time. What do you want to say to that parent that's listening? And really, maybe they're thinking that their child may have an eating disorder or disordered eating, and they don't know where to begin. What would you want to say to them?
Okay, so a couple of things that I would definitely say is, number one, trust your instincts. You know your daughter best. Don't doubt yourself. Even if you've taken your daughter to a doctor and the lab results for now are currently in the normal range, it doesn't mean that she might not still be struggling with an eating disorder. We have to look at the whole person and what her behaviors are, as well as her physical manifestations. Because I have too many stories that I share many of in the book of mothers who knew that something was wrong, or parents, even fathers. I'm not saying only mothers know, but the doctor disagreed. It wasn't severe enough yet. And then there were very bad experiences afterwards because they waited so long. Number two is, don't blame yourself. Eating disorders have a very complex onset that is affected by many things. And so it's important to realize that nothing occurs in isolation, and that blame, to me, never serves a constructive purpose. So that's number, a very important part. I would get a referral right away. If you're in a school situation, perhaps a school social worker can help you. Your child's doctor might be able to help you. There are organizations that we have in our community that could be able to help you. MASC is always there for you. You can definitely speak to people in MASC as well. And of course, ask questions and educate yourself. Don't be afraid to ask whatever questions you might have. You are your child's best advocate. So take the time you need to ask the questions and educate yourself. And then finally, I would really advise people to seek support for themselves. An eating disorder, when your child's struggling with an eating disorder, it's a very difficult time, and it really affects the family dynamic on every level. So it's really very important that everyone, especially the parents, get support, the support that they need as well.
Well, thank you. And I want to encourage everyone out there that wants to learn about and use A Mother's Guide to Nurturing Her Daughter's Best Self. Please go on to Amazon, go to your from local bookstore, get the book, get the two books that come with it, The Companion for the Mothers and a journal. It's called Atsmi's My Best Self, My Best Self Journal. Again, Marcy Forta, How Can I Help My Daughter? And I want to thank you, Marcy, for everything you do for the CLAL and helping with this topic. And always, on behalf of MASC parents, always being available to them. Thank you so much, Bimatz Leah.
Thank you very much, Ruchaman. Thank you for all you and all the people at MASC do every day for so many people. I don't think people realize what a fabulous organization it is and how many people you really do support and help.
Oh, thank you, with my wonderful staff. And I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Tonight's show is an honor of all the Chayalim. Bring the hostages home now. Please consider to go online to maskparents.org so we could continue with all the MASC programs. Thank you and have a good night.
At Episcopal Health Services and St. John's Episcopal Hospital, we're not just transforming appearances, we're redefining excellence in care. Through our commitment to advance, expand, upgrade, and improve, we'll ensure our community receives the most comprehensive care every patient deserves. Our efforts have garnered recognition from organizations like the American Heart Association and U.S. News and World Report. Episcopal Health Services and St. John's Episcopal Hospital. Come see how we've changed. Call 718-EHS-DOCS to find a physician or visit EHS.org.
Podcasts are everywhere, but cutting through the noise is tough. Did you know of the 5 million podcasts worldwide, half of them only get 30 listeners? Want to reach a bigger audience? Think radio. TalkLine Network gets you targeted listeners who are ready to engage with your message. Host your own show with us and supercharge your podcast's reach. We'll help you connect with the right audience. For a free consultation, call TalkLine Network today at 212-769-1925, extension 100. That's 212-769-1925, or email zevbrenner@gmail.com. That's 212-769-1925, extension 100.